Welcome to the conference call of TAG Immobilien AG, which is now starting. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. May I now hand you over to Mr. Martin Thiel.
Yeah, thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. This is Martin from TAG. Welcome to our half-year results earnings call. Thanks for dialing in during the summer, during this nice weather into our call and for your interest in the company. Well, I think today, as I said, of good and nice results with the increase of the guidance for the full year 2018, perhaps not that a big surprise to many of you. We already announced in the last earnings call that we will review the guidance, so now it's really an increase. Another very attractive valuation result that we can publish today and, as we think, a good set of Q2 results. But let's start with the highlight slide on page number 4 of the presentation that you can download on our website. And I'm going now to the main points. I would say operational performance regarding vacancy development, regarding like-for-like rental growth. Yeah, perhaps to summarize that, I think that's on track. Even a slight increase in vacancy in the residential units between the quarters. We had 5.4% at the beginning of the year, now 5.5%, but that's definitely nothing to worry. We had new acquisitions last year with higher vacancy rates. These have to be integrated. And we're working on some modernization programs for vacancy reduction, especially in the Chemnitz and Gera area, but we'll come back to that in a second. So 5.5% vacancy to residential units. Looking at like-for-like rental growth, we are at 1.9% in the basis like-for-like rental growth. That's nearly stable in comparison to the previous quarters. And also the like-for-like rental growth, including vacancy reduction, is stable in comparison to the previous quarter. So we ended up at 2.5% within the last 12 months, and that compares to 2.6% in the previous quarter. FFO1 increased by 1 million quarter and quarter and increased quite strongly if you compare that with the previous quarter or with the previous half year. So the FFO increase in absolute amounts and on a per share basis if you compare the first half of 2018 with the first half of 2018 was 20%. EPRA NAV and LTV, both key metrics developed very nicely. EPRA NAV increased by 10% to €15.15. On the back of strong valuation gains. If you exclude the dividend payment that we made in May to shareholders this year, the EPRA NAV increase was even 15%. And we already reached our LTV target, so now we're down at 50.2%. 50% is the LTV target, coming from 51.4%. Even though we paid out a dividend, but of course also here the strong valuation results helped us quite a lot. Looking at acquisitions and disposals, I would say no major transactions in the first half of 2018. Looking at acquisitions in Neubrandenburg and Stadt Ilm, that's in Thuringia, we acquired 2,000 units. Average multiple 10.8 times the current rent, that's a 9.3% gross yield. Vacancy reduction potentially, especially in the Thuringia portfolio, available. Speaking generally about acquisition markets, that's not really a surprise, clearly challenging and clearly large competition. Difficult to give you an exact guidance for the next one or two quarters regarding acquisitions. I mean, we are clearly working on some projects, but today I would say the normal thing is that, first of all, nearly everything is a public auction, and secondly, even if you're exclusive, you're never alone. You've got one or two competitors in this acquisition processes, so hard to give any exact predictions, but you can be sure that we're working on further projects. On the disposal side, mainly in this quarter, disposal of non-core assets. So we sold a portfolio of 460 units in North Rhine-Westphalia and Lower Saxony with an average vacancy rate of 13.2 times. It was sold at book value. And this disposal or this portfolio comprises locations where we think the size of this portfolio in the respective location is not large enough. So from an efficiency point of view, and also in some cases from a quality point of view, this is nothing that we want to keep for the long term. So therefore, it was a good chance for us to sell this at book value. The selling price, please understand this, was agreed with the seller to keep this confidential. And just as an additional information, net cash proceeds from this disposal will amount to 13 million. And then there's the ongoing disposal business, something that you know from us from the past years. That's not only privatization, that's also disposal of small portfolios of, let's say, 10, 15, 20 units. So this adds up to 312 units in the first half of 2018, sold slightly above book value, net cash proceeds of 11 million. That's in line with the previous years. Then coming to the next slide, slide number 5, quick look at portfolio valuation. In 2018, for the second time we did, as it is perhaps common now in the meanwhile in the peer group, already a half-year valuation, and the total valuation gain amounted to 230 million. That's a 5.4% uplift. And if you take a look at the reason for the valuation gain, approximately 85% is the valuation gain coming from yield compression, and approximately 15% that's from stronger than in last year's valuation expected rental growth and vacancy reduction. Comparing that with previous valuations, especially with valuations in the financial year 2015 and 2016, where basically the gain from rental growth and vacancy reduction in absolute terms is nearly unchanged. Remember, this is just a half-year figure. But clearly, the element yield compression is much more important than 1 or 2 years before. Comparing that to 2017 valuation results, percentage-wise, yes, clear, it's a little bit lower, but in absolute amounts, it's absolutely comparable. If you remember that in the second half of 2017, we had a valuation gain of 250 million, now it's 230 million. So perhaps you can summarize this as a continuing of the good development we already had in 2017. Now the key metrics in valuation are nearly 900 euros per square meter and a 6.7% gross yield, and this gross yield is based on the current rent, so including the vacancy rate we currently have. So therefore we see definitely further potential. I mean, this is clearly not an aggressive valuation. We will have the next portfolio valuation at year-end 2018, and now of course the interesting question is, what do we expect for the year-end valuation? And of course, it's simply difficult to give you here a guidance for that. Generally speaking, I mean, we see the markets, we see the positive development, but to give you an exact guidance percentage-wise, whether it's another 5% or a little bit lower or a little bit higher, that's really difficult for us now. So please understand that generally we see clearly positive momentum in the market, but perhaps we can give you with the Q3 results more guidance on what we expect for the valuation result for year-end. Then financing structure. June was a quite active month for us regarding refinancing activities. Perhaps it was the second step and the last major step regarding the refinancing activities after the activities last year in summer. So what we did is we issued two new corporate bonds via private placements, all together 250 million, average maturity 6 years, average coupon 1.5%. In a very lean transaction, both new corporate bonds without any financial covenants. So as we think, a good transaction, a very lean transaction with attractive conditions. And we simultaneously bought back an outstanding, more expensive corporate bond originally maturing in 2020 with a 3.75% coupon, with paying out the remaining interest coupon to the investors of this corporate bond. So this reduced our average cost of debt to below 2% for the first time. And if you compare that with the average cost of debt within the last 18 months, that's a reduction from 3.15% in December 2016 to currently, as I said, 1.99%. I mean, based on the 2.3, 2.4 billion total financial debt we have, if we do a simple calculation, that's approximately 27, 28 million of additional cash flow that we now receive from this refinancing activities. And not only the average cost of debt went in the right direction, and I think as important is that we extended the maturities. We already had long maturities 1.5 years ago with 8.3 years, and we were able to extend this maturity now to currently 8.8 years. And as already mentioned, LTV was reduced to 50% now from 57% 1.5 years ago. So I think that the financing structure is now in even better shape than it was 1.5 years before. Coming to the FFO and dividend guidance, you surely have seen this in our press release, that we increased the FFO guidance from midpoint 136 million now to midpoint 142 million, comparing that to the FFO from the previous year, 2017-18, we expect now a 12% increase. not only in absolute terms, but also on a per share basis. Here we expect 97 cents per share after previously 93 cents per share. And you know that we're paying out 75% of FFOs, so this is a clear consequence for us that we pay out now, or we're guiding a dividend for the financial year 2018 paid out next year of 73 cents per share. So that's the highlights. Then coming back to slide number 7, the income statement. Perhaps we don't have to go through every detail, but some main trends. First of all, if you look at the net trend, yes, we had a reduction net rent of 500,000 euros, but this is, of course, not a result of falling rent. This is simply the result of disposals that we already signed in 2017. Perhaps you remember the disposals of a portfolio in Berlin and in Halle, and where the closing was at the end of the first quarter in 2018. Looking on a year-on-year basis, we increased the rents by 7.4 million. I think that's the better comparison, so you see the result of our good like-for-like rental growth and also the net effect from portfolio transaction, because clearly the portfolio is now larger than 1 year before. Even though net rent was a little bit reduced, net rental income increased. So we had lower maintenance expenses in the second quarter than in the first quarter, and also lower impairment losses on rent receivables, where we had to clean up some older impairment losses and also had a new systematic how we go now into the rent impairment losses. Both no major effect, but I think generally, clearly we're getting on the cost side more and more efficient. Looking at the net financial result, perhaps that's also important to explain. If you look in the P&L and look at the net financial result, you see 46 million negative net financial result. A large part of it, nearly 22 million, is from the fair value valuation of the equity option of the convertible bond. So the largest part of it, I think that's important to point out, is a non-cash effect. Looking at the FFO-relevant net financial results, so cash after one-offs, we improved by 600,000 euros quarter on quarter. And also income tax is very much higher than in the previous quarter, but here the very large effect, and nearly completely the effect, refers to deferred taxes from the valuation results. Looking at the cash tax expenses, we even had a reduction quarter on quarter by 400,000 euros, and clearly the prepayments of the coupon of the repurchased corporate bond of 9.5 million that helped us to reduce here the current cash tax expense, so reduction of 400,000 euros quarter on quarter. Coming to the next slide, the calculation of EBITDA, FFO and AFFO. Perhaps important to point out that the good development of the EBITDA margin is still continuing. So 68.6% EBITDA margin now at the end of the second quarter compared to 68% in the previous quarter. And comparing that on a year-on-year basis, if you look at the EBITDA margin for the first half of 2018, we ended up at 68.3% compared to 67.6% in the first half of 2017. So that's definitely a positive development. I already mentioned the FFO development. Looking at AFFO, we had a slight reduction in the quarter simply because we invested more CapEx, 1.6 million more CapEx in this quarter in comparison to the previous quarter. And you will see this also later, that on a per square meter basis, we invested now in the first half in the residential unit, 9 euros per square meter. So that includes everything, maintenance and CapEx. And yes, that's a little bit more than in last year, but this is definitely not a change in strategy. So what we're doing not is the start of large modernization programs, but we're clearly investing more to reduce vacancy, and especially in two regions, or in one region, it's I think the best example, in the Chemnitz region, we are investing quite a lot because we see here a lot of potential for vacancy reduction. So that's the reason why AFFO in the second quarter was a bit lower than in the first quarter. Looking on a year-by-year basis, so if you compare the first half 2018 with 2017, we are still 2 million above with our AFFO in comparison to the previous year. Then on the next slide, slide number 9, balance sheet. Perhaps just a comment on the quite massive for our company cash position, 330 million. On Tuesday, we repaid 191 million corporate bond. This was, as I said, on Tuesday. So therefore, we had a lot of cash in the balance sheet in June 2018. But clearly, there's enough firepower left for new acquisitions. Also, some acquisitions from last year were not yet refinanced because simply we had enough cash in the balance sheet. So therefore, let's say in the normal ongoing acquisition business, we're clearly funded for the remaining part of the year. Then coming to slide number 10, just a short comment on the EPRA NAV development. As I already said, €15.15 now at the end of the first half. That's a 15% increase in the first 6 months. If you leave out the dividends that we paid by 65, there was 65 cents per share. And you see in the development or in the chart on the right side that portfolio valuation with €1.65 was clearly the main driver of this NAV development. Then the next slide, number 11, a summary of the development of the average cost of debt and loan to value. You see here the 1.99% average cost of debt. Please be aware that this is a kind of pro forma figure because this already excludes the corporate bond that you repaid on Tuesday. So today it's 1.99%. That's the number, the current number that we present here. And as I already mentioned, we are already at our LTV target, 50%, based on the current valuation is for us, if you think, a very, a number that makes absolutely sense, and we will keep this LTV target for now. Let's see how the valuation developments in the next quarters, whether it's then after some stronger renovation results, time to redefine the LTV target, but definitely not for now. 50% for us is definitely a good level. Then I'm coming to slide number 5. Quick look at the debt financing structure, and perhaps again worth to point out that we also extended the average maturities now to 8.8 years after 8.6 years at the beginning of the year and 8.3 years ago, 18 months ago. But there's still further refinancing potential. If you look at the bank loans that are maturing or where the interest terms are ending in the next 2.5 years, so 2018, 2019, and 2020, you see on the chart on the left side that this adds up all in all to 318 million of bank loans that we can refinance. And looking at the coupons of these bank loans, that's on average between 2.6 and 3.7%. And looking at today's financing conditions for 10-year bank loan, I would say perhaps a typical bank loan has a margin of 80, 90 basis points. Putting on top of that the swap rate currently a little bit north of 90 basis points. So we're at 1.8%, just to give an idea, for new 10-year bank debt. Currently, bank loans maturing in the next 2.5 years between 2.6 and 3.7%. So this should provide further refinancing potential for us in the next 2.5 years. On slide number 13, we summarized for you what we think strong development of financing metrics, of the interest cover ratio, of the net financial debt to EBITDA ratio, and also the net financial debt per square meter, and especially commenting on the ICR development. I think that's definitely good development, and it's definitely not the end of the road. The 3.5 times we achieved in the first half of 2018 includes the still quite expensive bond that we now repaid on Tuesday, the 191 million that had a coupon of more than 5%. So you can expect an ICR definitely quite soon above 4 times from us. So this goes in the right direction. And also net financial debt to the EBITDA adjusted goes in the right direction, now perhaps quite quickly below 11 times. Summarizing, it's quite simple. I mean, we're operating with a stable financial debt. This you can see if you look at the net financial debt in euro per square meter. Even though the portfolio grew in the past, we didn't really lever up, but the operational results increased. So therefore, the financing structure is definitely in a very good shape from our point of view. Then looking at the portfolio, and perhaps I'm starting with slide number 16 with vacancy reduction. Just to make this clear again, we have now an increase in the first half of the year of 20 basis points. So including the largest acquisition into the portfolio, into this view, we started with 5.3%. You can see this on the chart on the bottom right of slide number 16, and we're now at 5.5% in June. But this has a clear reason. First of all, that's not unusual that after the integration of new portfolios, and this were 5,000 units all in all, you always have a slight increase in vacancy. You have to change perhaps the tenant structure, do some modernization projects. Beside that, we have some larger modernization projects, as already mentioned, especially in the Chemnitz region, and we expect a further reduction or a reduction in the vacancy in the second half of the year. For us, that's very clear. Coming to the next slide number 17, like-for-like rental growth. I think I already commented the development. Perhaps as an additional information, looking at the basis like-for-like rental growth of 1.9%, the composition of this 1.9% is as follows, that we have 0.8% from tenant turnover, 1% from regular rent increases, for example, from the Mietspiegel, and approximately 0.1% from modernization programs for existing tenants. Still the basis like-for-like rental growth of approximately 2% is achieved without modernization programs. That's really, let's say, a kind of basis, a kind of underlying like-for-like rental growth that is still there. Putting the effect from vacancy reduction on top of that, we ended up at 2.5%. I'm on slide number 19, looking again at the valuation results for the second half of the year. Looking at the key metrics on the right side, I already mentioned that we're now at a book value per square meter of close to 900 euros and a 6.7% gross yield. Please be aware, the 6.7% gross yield is based on the current vacancy rate, which is in the residential portfolio at 5.5%. We think that's definitely a conservative level. If you look at the development over the last 1.5 years, you see the strong momentum we currently have in the markets. I mean, 1.5 years ago, in December 2016, book value per square meter was 740 euros. Gross yield was 7.9%. This shows you that the regions in which we have our portfolio, commuter belts of larger cities, mid-sized cities, Eastern Germany, have definitely a good development. Next portfolio valuation, as I already mentioned, will take place at year-end 2018. Again, commenting on the guidance and that's slide number 22 of our presentation. We increased the guidance in comparison to the guidance that we published in November last year by 6 million. If you break down the 6 million increase in guidance, that's approximately 2.3% from better than expected EBITDA performance. This is not only a good rent development, this is also cost efficiency. Refinancing activities, including the refinancing that we did in June. We expect here an effect of 3.6 million. These are the two main effects. Cash taxes, generally as planned, 6 million increase in guidance. This now leads to a new FFO guidance in a midpoint of 142 million and on a per share basis of 0.97 per share. That's a 12% increase in comparison to the previous year. That's of course without any further acquisitions and without further disposals, but we don't expect any major disposals that should have an effect on the guidance. As we always do, that's based on the portfolio as it is. Dividend per share, already mentioned it. It's now 0.73 per share for the financial year 2018, and that still translate even after the good development of the share price in the last month at a 3.7% dividend yield, which should be definitely an attractive dividend yield in comparison to the whole peer group. That's it from my side. That's the summary of the first half year results. Thanks so far for listening, and of course, now happy to take your questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Thiel. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star one on your touchtone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press star two. The first question is coming from Mr. Thomas Neuhold from Kepler Cheuvreux. May we have your question, please?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I only have two. The first one is on slide 24, The vacancy rate in Chemnitz and in Gera went up a little bit and then stand at quite high levels. You mentioned that you're carrying out a modernization program there. Can you please provide us with more details in terms of how many of your units you plan to modernize, what kind of CapEx are involved, and what you think the impact could be on average rents and vacancy rates in these two cities? And the second question is, I want to come back on your comments about the strong investment market, which is obviously good for portfolio valuation, but to a certain extent limits your external growth opportunities. Now we have the situation that in the first half year, the portfolio size slightly declined year on year due to the disposals. I was wondering if you can share your thoughts about if you still will be able on an annual basis to keep the portfolio stable or maybe even increase it depending on your current acquisition pipeline and what you think could happen in the second half. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas, for your question. Perhaps I'll start with the second question regarding investment market. I mean, you're completely right. On the one side, that's for us a good news that we see such high demand in our markets and that we see a lot of competition and that we see increasing portfolio prices. So that's the good news so far for our portfolio, for the existing portfolio, and, of course, for the valuation. On the other side, yes, clear, this makes acquisitions harder. It's not a new picture. Basically, this is the situation as we had it in the last 1 or 2 years or even longer. We don't expect that we are net seller for 2018, to make that very clear. And as I said, we can't give you an official acquisition guidance, but we expect clearly that the portfolio size at year-end 2018 should be larger than at year-end 2017. So it's not the case that the acquisition markets are that tough, that we are starting to become a net seller and that the portfolio is shrinking. So this should be the current situation. And regarding your first question, yes, that's true. The increasing vacancy rate in the Chemnitz area, or let's say the stable vacancy rate in the Chemnitz area, and also the increasing vacancy rate in the Gera area, which is mainly the city of Gera, is a result of modernization. I would say even more in the Chemnitz area, we are really investing quite a lot. What are we doing here? I mean, with a falling vacancy rate, honestly, the modernization programs are a little bit more complex. So perhaps in some of the locations, I'm here very open, the low-hanging fruits, that's already done, so I have to invest more. I mean, still the returns are quite attractive. Still the returns are clearly often in areas of 20 or 30% per annum, so it absolutely makes sense to do this. It's not a very complex modernization. So if we modernization full apartment blocks like we do, for example, currently in the Chemnitz area, that doesn't bring the apartments now to a luxury standard. It's still very targeted. It's still targeted to what we rent out to most of our tenants. That means attractive apartments, but clearly for the affordable housing area. That's very clear. And therefore, we expect in the third and I think even more in the fourth quarter now dropping vacancy rate, especially in the Chemnitz and Gera region.
Thank you very much.
The next question is coming from Sander Bunck from Barclays. May we have your question, please?
Hi, morning, guys. A couple of questions for me, please. First one, I think during the last conference call, you mentioned that the level of revaluations for this year were going to be broadly similar to the ones from last year. So last year, I think you did 14%, and then I think you mentioned that it was not unrealistic to see a similar number for this year as well. Now, in the first year, you reported 5%. Can you give us a bit of feeling, if is that in line with plan? Do you expect a bit of catch-up in the second half? Just a bit more guidance here, please.
Yeah, good morning, Sander. Yes, first of all, it's completely true. Last year, valuation uplift was 14% for the full year. I think a little bit more than 7% in the first half and slightly below 7% in the second half. Now it's 5.4. As I said, in absolute terms, we are quite similar to the valuation result that we had in the second half. So percentage-wise, I mean, it's very naturally that this is now coming a little bit down, but more, if you want, so mathematically. I know it's of course interesting what will be the valuation result in the second half, but it's really difficult to give here a guidance. But let's say the 5% valuation result that we had in the first half this year, that's from our point of view definitely not an, let's say, aggressive valuation. So going in this, having a similar result in the second half of the year should be something normal. But as I said, please understand that we can't here give you an exact guidance for that. Perhaps we can do this with the Q3 results. Then we are clearly CBRE has already begun with the first work. We have more color on the development of investment markets. So therefore, perhaps with the Q3 results, we can give you a little bit more color on that.
Okay, so a bit more color on that during the Q3 results. That's very clear. On the second point I had is on the guidance, and obviously you've upgraded that quite nicely. However, just looking broadly at the maths and looking at your Q2 FFO run rate and adding that to the Q1, you're already kind of at the top end of that guidance, and then on top of that, you have some refinancing gains still coming throughout the second half of this year as you pay down an expensive $119 million bond. Will we also get another update on the FFO guidance during the Q3 results, or is there something else in play that makes you feel that the current guidance is appropriate?
That's not planned to give another update with the FFO guidance, with the Q3 results. The pay down of the $191 million corporate bond is included in the new guidance and was already included in the previous guidance from November last year. But on the other side, you're right. If you take the run rate and multiply it with 2, then we're already more in the upper end of the guidance. But if you look at the disposals that we signed in the first half, we sold some units, 700 units in the first half. We acquired 200 units. So as the guidance is without new acquisitions, we simply have to take account and be a little bit conservative if we want so in this regard.
Yeah, but 500 units on an 80,000 unit portfolio is relatively immaterial, I'd say, no?
That's not incorrect, yeah.
Okay, good. And then just lastly, on the like-for-like, and I think you alluded already to it a bit quickly, that you're briefly on the... that the vacancy reduction towards the end of this year is going to be a bit stronger probably than in the first half. Is it therefore likely to see the like-for-like rental growth accelerate a bit through the second half of this year, so more from the 2.5% to 3% kind of range?
Yeah. So our guidance for like-for-like rental growth, including vacancy reduction, is between 2.5% and 3%, and that's still valid.
Okay, excellent. Thanks very much, guys.
The next question is coming from Georg Kanders from Bankhaus Lampe. May we have your question, please?
Yeah, good morning. I have also, you have also other regions, your Hamburg and Rhine-Ruhr, where you have higher vacancy rates. What's the reason here? I think you have not modernization programs there.
Yeah, thank you for the question. Yeah, that's true. Rhein-Ruhr and also Hamburg saw an increase in vacancy reduction. But I would say this is nothing where we see really a trend now shifting that in these regions we have, especially not in the Hamburg region now, a trend. I would say this is perhaps a normal swing that you have from time to time. So I would say, as in the last years where we had in every region a vacancy reduction, perhaps give us some time that we look at the figures on a full year basis, and we're very confident that also in the regions like Rhein-Ruhr or Hamburg, or for example the Leipzig area, where we already had an increase in vacancy reduction on a full year basis, this is now, let's say, definitely a stable vacancy rate, or that's clearly the aim or the target, a reduced vacancy rate.
And the sale of the non-core portfolio will definitely help also for Rhein-Ruhr.
Yeah. When I talk of a reduced vacancy rate, just to make this clear, that's without the effect of the southern of this non-core portfolio, which will not have a massive effect, that's clear, but that's on a like-for-like basis. So we don't only expect vacancy rate to fall because we sold the non-core portfolio. We clearly expect that the vacancy rate will fall in the second half of the year because of the operational development.
And regarding maintenance spending, I think last year you had €15 per square meter in total, but we should assume more for the whole year this year, so no relief on maintenance spending in the second half. Is this true?
The number, the €15 for the last year or the €9 for the first half, that's not only maintenance, that's everything. That's maintenance,
yeah.
That's capitalized maintenance, and that's modernization CapEx, so really what we call full investment. And we think that this is perhaps the number that makes sense to look at, because often it's more or less also an accounting question whether you capitalize it or capitalize not. So we internally always look at the full number, which was then €9 in the first half. And yes, that's more than in the last year because of these projects we have. And I think you should expect a similar number for the second half of the year. That's true.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much.
But just perhaps to add this, we are far away from doubling our CapEx or doubling our investments, just to make this clear.
Next question is coming from Bernd Jansen from Victoria Partners. May we have your question, sir?
Yeah, good morning. Two questions. One is on the debt financing structure and the other one is on the rental cap. Debt financing structure, looking at page 12 and the indicated €318 million of upcoming refinancings in the next 3 years. Two kind of sub-questions. One, following the repayment of the corporate bond and the issuance of two new bonds, do you generally feel that you now have, at this stage, the right split between bonds and bank loans? Meaning effectively enough flexibility also for your portfolio. The second question to that is, could you consider early refinancings or at least early interest fixings coming up on the volume that would be due in the next 3 years? And the second question on rental cap, least important for you, I guess, relative to your peers, but there seem to have been a very, very mixed and irritating news coming from Berlin in the last 2 months. Any view from your side of what's going on the political side with regards to rental cap?
Yeah, thanks for the question. We're starting with the refinancing structure. First of all, you should not expect a general shift in our debt structure. So it's clearly, from our point of view, mortgage-secured bank loans provide for us not only a cheap money, but also very stable money. And here we can achieve, from our point of view, for our company, the best financing condition. It's currently at around 80%. And the bonds, that means corporate bonds and convertible bonds, that stand for approximately 20%. Perhaps it's more likely that the share of bonds increases in the next, let's say, 1 or 2 years. So why is that? Perhaps the main argument for unsecured financing is flexibility. And also in shorter maturities, the unsecured financing, interestingly, is cheaper than the mortgage-secured bank financing. So therefore, for us, it's perhaps a good strategy, and that's simply what we're doing now, to say, okay, we've got at the moment portfolios or finance debt bank loans that are maturing for portfolios where potentially in the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years, we simply want to have the chance to sell it without breakage fees. Mm. Not yet decided, but simply to keep the flexibility. So therefore, perhaps you should expect more an increase of the share of unsecured financing than a decrease. Your question regarding interest costs, fixing or early refinancing of upcoming bank loans maturities, I think perhaps not for 2018, but more for 2019-2020 maturities. Yes, this is something that we can perhaps potentially think about it, but not now. I think in the last years, it was always a good strategy for us to wait until we are closer to the maturities. And especially looking at the total amounts, I mean, we don't have to have a fear or to be concerned that we miss a point in time where interest rates end to be very, very attractive. So therefore, perhaps it is something to think about more at the beginning of 2019. The largest steps and the most important steps regarding refinancing are clearly done. So we secured the interest costs at really attractive levels. And also we made the whole financing structure, perhaps just to add this, really, really stable. Looking, for example, at the covenant requirements we currently have, I mean, in the now outstanding two corporate bonds, there are no financial covenants. The convertible bond has no financial covenants. And looking at the bank loans, they are in the financial covenants. That's really, really moderate. So therefore, whatever happens in the next years, we should be here in a very, very good position. And the last question regarding rental caps or regarding, let's say, more generally, the political discussion around that. I mean, of course, we are closely watching that. But on the other side, honestly, we're quite happy that we're not really, let's say, don't have to worry about it too much because simply our strategy is different. I'm looking in the press releases that you see or the press articles today. I mean, there's a lot of discussion about increasing rents as a result of large modernization programs, about further regulations regarding rental caps. So therefore, I think the possibility that we see here more for further rent regulation is quite high, but we are on the other side happy that this is then not a really major effect for our business model.
Okay, thank you.
For further questions, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. We have no further questions coming in, Mr. Thiel.
Okay, then. Thank you very much. Thank you very much all for listening to the call. As always, if there are any further questions left, please contact Dominik Mann from our R department or, of course, also personally myself. We're happy to see you in the next weeks on the road or during conferences. Have a nice day and bye-bye from Hamburg.
We want to thank Mr. Thiel and all the participants of this conference. Thank you very much and goodbye.